Bible is described in one place, people as a light for your path and a lamp that is to guide your feet. And surely, as the Bible, as God says in His Word, it's not in man to direct his own steps. Surely, each and every one of us needs light. We need a guidance, instruction in the way forward to go. And, well, there's no better place to find that light, that counsel, that instruction to lead you forwards and upwards than in the Bible, in God's Word that never changes and never alters. Trouble is, of course, when you go to your modern day prophets, your psychos, your shrinks, and all those who have input, as it were, into your mind, they're always changing their minds and their opinion. You can't keep up with them. They change their opinions, their ideas, they change their counsel just about every day. But if you want a sure word of testimony, if you want the unalterable counsel of God, well, the place to find it is in the Bible, is in the Word of God itself. Never alters. You can depend upon it because, well, God doesn't have to change His mind. He doesn't have to change His opinions. He doesn't have to change His counsel because He gets it right first time round. And that's why, well, one of the reasons why the Bible never changes, never alters. The diagnosis is always the same. The sin factor that lies in the hearts of every one of us. And of course, the answer, the cure, as it were, the love and grace of God that never alters. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, gave Him up to the death of the cross to die for ungodly sinners. The cure, the only cure from the ravages of sin, that's so plain, so clear, so manifest in your society, in your families, and of course in your own personal life and existence. The grace and the love of God found only in the Bible, found only in the Word of God. Nowhere else will you find the necessary light for your feet and lamp for your path to guide you forwards, upwards, heavenwards, only in the Word of God. So, for that reason, I offer you a copy, personal copy of God's Word, sample, if you like, to take home with you and read for yourself and see that these things are so. The counsel of God, which is able to save you, to make you wise unto salvation, and to bring into your heart and life love that is everlasting, infinite, love that will never let you go, love that will cure, love that will heal, love that will forgive, love that will reconcile things that you won't find in the world, commodities that you cannot purchase, that you cannot buy with all the money in the world, because They are simply freely given in the Bible, in the Word of God. You can read about such things offered to you, as I say, free of charge and without cost or obligation to you. You take it, you read it, you come to your own conclusion. But here, the message of God's love and grace, message of God's forgiveness, the message of God's assurance of one day a home in heaven. But in the Bible, God, well, He makes it crystal clear what it is that is required of you and me for salvation. Belief, of faith that is towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. In the Bible, a clear statement is given. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I mean, what could be clearer, and what could be plainer than that? When it comes to the message of God's loving salvation, people, it's clear, it's plain, even a child could understand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It couldn't be, you couldn't get a clearer statement, a plainer statement than that. It is faith and faith alone towards Jesus Christ that brings everlasting life and love and light into a person's soul, into their heart and mind. There, I confess, there are many complex and difficult things in the Bible to understand. But God's requirement for salvation is not one of them. As I say, a child could understand. Maybe, perhaps that's why Jesus says in another place, He says that, except ye become as children and be converted, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that believes certainly shall. The one who has faith towards Jesus Christ has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, it tells you, does it not, that not everyone is saved. Not everyone is in a safe condition, a secure standing before God. It tells you plainly and clearly that the person who does not believe, the person without faith in Christ, is not saved, does not have everlasting life. You see, there are only two classes of people where God's concerned as He looks upon humanity. You have many classes. You call them rich and poor. You call them black and white. You call them yellow and grey. You have many, many classifications and distinctions for the human race, but God has only two: the saved and the lost, those that believe and those that don't. It's that simple, and that's what separates the sheep from the goat, the hell-bound from the heaven-bound. Listen again to what God says. He that believeth on and the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. People, as the gates of hell, as they gape open wide still, even in this day and generation, you need to hear. You may not want to hear, but you need to hear the message of God's salvation, the plain, simple gospel message. Believe and be saved. Believe not, and the wrath of God, it remains, it abides upon you. God himself says so. But as long as there's one unsaved person, one sinner remaining in the city of Stoke-on-Trent, well, you will hear my relentless voice declaring to you this message that will save you, that will deliver you from that wrath of God and the wrath that is to come. Now, people, we're not talking here about just the odd person. We're not talking about just one person in a million, but we're talking about the majority. We're talking about the masses. We're talking about the most of you here under my voice this afternoon. Because, as God says in his word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just one or two, not just the what you would term reprobates, not just the junkies and the drunkards, not just the filthy and the unclean, not just those whom you term to be unrespectable, but the masses, the majority, the most, dare I say, 99% of the people in Hanley this afternoon. People, it's the majority, it's all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's indictment, and you can shake your head, mister, until it falls off your shoulders, but you won't alter that truth. No, people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Father, God's indictment, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, that seeketh after God, all gone out of the way, and together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is God's clear indictment of the entire, of the whole human race. Without Jesus Christ, without the Son of God, no righteousness, no safety, no reconciling to God, no love, no everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son, and he alone hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God remains, abideth upon him. But then, of course, some of you will say, well, maybe, or perhaps you will, well, I believe in a God of some kind, of some fashion, but you're not quite sure who he is, you're not quite sure what he is, and you're not even quite sure what name he wears. Maybe you subscribe to the modern day politically correct notions that you have in your society today, that all religions are equal, Muhammad's and the Pope's and everybody else's, well, it's all of one piece. Well, God says that's not so. It's not believing in a God that saves you. It is not believing in a God that brings everlasting life to you. In fact, it is not believing in Muhammad or Allah that brings everlasting life to you. It is not believing in the Pope or his system that brings everlasting life to you. You can believe in all of these and yet still be damned, still have the wrath of God abiding upon you. Because, listen, up to what God says clearly and distinctly in his word, in the Bible, he that believeth on the Son, the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ and him alone, no other, can bring everlasting and eternal life to you. So subscribing to a God, believing in a God, is not enough, is not sufficient. There has to be faith towards the Son of God. And then, of course, well, there are some people who would say that they believe or they subscribe to some kind of a creed. You know, I've got my own creed, I've got my own system of belief. Well, people, God has not called you to believe in a creed, a system of faith, of belief, of your own devising, of your own making. No, people, it's believing on Christ and Christ alone, the Son of God. He alone can bring everlasting life and love to your soul, without which, God says, the wrath of God abides upon you and you shall not see life. So I press it upon you, the Son of God, he himself, who uttered the words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one way. Jesus is that way. The way back from sin, the way back to God from the dark path of sin. I am the truth, he says, the truth that liberates, that sets you free, brings you out from under the cloud of God's wrath and judgment, and brings you into safety, security, love, and everlasting life. But without Jesus, without the way, without the truth, there's no life, no life at all. And of course, well, what you term, what you mean by life, is what God would call just simply existence. Getting by, coping, or maybe not coping, maybe not getting by at all. What God means by life is much more abundant. I am come, Jesus says, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The overflowing, the fullness of vibrant, dynamic, powerful, everlasting life and love that, people, you cannot have, enter into without faith in the Son of God, only Jesus, only Christ, whom I declare to you, he alone can bring you into such. But then, no doubt, there are some here this afternoon who would answer and say that they were blameless in terms of morals. I'm not a fornicator, you say. Faithful, fidelity in marriage, you believe in all that. You wouldn't have any uncleanness in your home. You wouldn't have any lies, untruth spoken in your home. You're not filthy. In fact, you might even be the epitome of respectability. Two cars in the driveway, nice semi-detached. Send your children out to school, well dressed, well cared for. You are the epitome of respectability. And yet God says, you're still lost, you're still under his wrath, you are still without everlasting life, because you do not have faith in the Son of God. permit me to tell you, may be disappointing to you, but it's the truth nonetheless, and that's all I'm here to tell you. Your respectability will not save you. Your morals, your uprightness of life, your cleanliness, and your truth-telling, none of these things will bring everlasting life to your soul. It is believing in the Son of God alone that will do that. Listen up to God's word again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. I don't doubt for a moment, were I to present you with some junkie, some criminal, something that you would call vile, that just crawled out of a jail cell, well, you would probably acknowledge, admit, yes, probably, the wrath of God's on such, but not me, not a respectable, not a nice person like me. I mean, what could God possibly have against you? You're not a murderer, you never killed anyone, and you never robbed a bank. So how could God possibly have an indictment against you? I tell you, he has, because you have not believed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That indictment, that's the capital crime, that's the capital one for that people, neglect of and rejecting of God's Son, Jesus Christ. For that and that alone, God's wrath abides upon you, and he will, believe me, or rather believe him, believe God's word, he will send you to hell for it. Only one way of escape, only one way out, and that's through the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The crime committed by every single one of you, hostility towards God, you know, like the Bible says, the carnal mind, that's the sinful mind in your thinking, hostile, hatred of God. Bible says, in the last days, those in which we are living in just now, that men will be lovers of themselves, of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. That's the crime. That's the indictment. You have not loved the Creator, the one who created you, who made you in his image, who made you for love, to be loved, and to enjoy and to know the everlasting love and kindness of God. But you see, in your sinful, darkened mind, hostile, hateful towards God, hating the God who created you and who made you for his love, that, people, is the ultimate sin. You have not done that which is required of you. You have not loved God. On the contrary, in your sin-darkened minds, you have explained them away, or sought to do it, using the talents, using the intelligence, using the gift of rationality that God has given to you. Used it to imagine even that he doesn't exist, when it's as plain as the nose on your face. God says you have but to look at all the things that he has created, and you are left, he says, without any excuse. God has showed it to you. God has made himself manifest to you. It is in you. He has stamped your innermost being with the knowledge of himself. So when you say God does not exist, when you say there is no God, you're lying. You're telling lies. You're breaking yet another commandment. No, people, hostility, hostile in your mind to God, and of course to His laws. Those commandments that He gave, you know, no other gods but God, you know, no adultery, no homosexuality, no fornicating, fidelity in marriage, family life, you know, the norm. That which you have disintegrated and destroyed and degenerated in your own nation and society, and have stood by and allowed the government to do the same. Well, people, God still says, whatever you may think of it in your hostile mind, He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, whether by abortion, violence, or anything else. God will require the blood of those millions and millions of infants that you have wantonly slaughtered and murdered in the name on the altar of your sexual pleasure. God will require that blood at your hands. Now, people, hostile in your mind towards God, towards His law, towards His commandments, which were given to you that you might live wholesomely, that you might live in good health, free of all the diseases such as AIDS, chlamydia, and all the bodily destroying diseases that swamp you in your land today. God gave you His wholesome commandments that you might live by them. But then, of course, that hostility, it goes further, does it not? Hostility towards the Son of God, the one who would save you, the one who would deliver you from the wrathful condition in which you are, the one that would deliver you from your hostility, the one that would bring you to everlasting life and everlasting love, forgiveness and healing. All these things, of course, are included in the gospel. Here it is, that forgives all the iniquities of His people and heals all their diseases. But you don't believe on the Son of God, so you can't enter into any of those blessings. Not only do you not believe in Him, but you are hostile towards Him. You take His name and you blaspheme and curse with it. You hate and despise the lovely Son of God, and were He to come in the physical again, you would do just as they did 2,000 years ago. You would crucify the lovely Jesus. You would nail Him to a cross all over again, because such is your hostility and your hatred of Him. So, like I say, people, your rejection, the wrath of God, it abides, it remains upon you. Listen to what God's word says. Again, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth, remains, that is, upon him. But then, of course, every cause has an effect. Well, I don't think anybody in their right mind, anyone with a sense of logic, that is, I could argue with such. But of course, cause number one, that is, your carelessness, your ignorance concerning, well, even the ABCs of the gospel, of God's message of salvation in this day and generation, your apathy, your indifference to your eternal well-being, the world to come. Oh, says God, that you would consider your latter end, because it will not be as you think, as you've been led and made to believe. You see, with your modern day philosophies, you think to yourself, well, time goes on, ages go on, one towards another, just as they've always done. at the end of my life, well, you know, I die, I acknowledge, everybody has to die, just as God says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Nobody in their right mind would argue that statistic. But then, it's what happens afterwards. Because you've been led to believe that 6 foot of earth, splodge, end of story, finito, that's it, it's all over. But then, that's not what God says. God says in His Word, He says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, then comes the judgment. Then you give account to God for all that you've done, every idle word that you've spoken, Jesus says, and even for this occasion, when you've been presented with the gospel and everlasting life, which could have been yours for believing on Jesus Christ. But you would have none of it, and so you give account to God on the day of judgment. But it's that carelessness, it's that ignorance, it's that apathy, it's that indifference, of course, that leads you not to believe, to reject the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth, remains upon him. But then, of course, another factor, another cause, as it were, that leads you not to believe is your pride. Pride, it has been said, leads more people to hell than any other sin. Human pride. I ask you people, what have we got to be proud of as a human race? You keep saying that you're going to learn one war after another, one act of genocide after another, one season of famine after another, and you say, it must never happen again. But it goes on happening again. You go on slaughtering and killing one another. You go on with your murder and mayhem. You never learn. It never comes to an end. Why? Because the whole entire human race is shot through with sin, has depraved natures, murderous nature. And people, the cause, people, the pride, what have you got to be proud of as a human race? When you look at its history, and you look at the murder and mayhem, and you don't have to go to Iraq for that, you've only got to go to your National Health Service. Because there, day by day, they wantonly, there, day by day, in your hospital wards, they slaughter defenseless, voiceless infants. By their thousands, by their millions. Hey! You make a clamour, you shout and holler about saving life, eh? Life must be saved, eh? Don't put the murderer to death, his life must be spared. But what about the voiceless infants? What about the children of your fornication? Eh? You slaughter them one after the other. In the name of your atheism. In the name of your godlessness. What have you got to be proud of? But pride, your human pride, keeps you from the kingdom of God. Keeps you from acknowledging the truth. The truth about yourself, the truth about your own heart, the truth about your own inner condition, and the truth about your own society. You keep saying you want the truth from these politicians, but you don't. You don't want the truth. You want the truth about everybody else but you. Nah, your rotten, stinking human pride, people, keeps you from God's kingdom. That's the cause, and the effect of it is unbelief. You go into denial. You say, I'm not a sinner. I never did nothing wrong. I never did nothing over there. I never robbed a bank. Poor old, snotty old you. You're okay. It's everybody else. And your pride keeps you from everlasting life, everlasting love, and everlasting light. People, listen up to what God says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth, remaineth upon him. But then, of course, well, these causes cause the effect, people, of the causes, and you can't escape them, is that the wrath of God abides, remains upon you and upon your society. A nation, a society with the marks of God's judgment all over it. The incompetence that you see in your government, in your industry, in your health service, everywhere you look, there is nothing but incompetence. You haven't got a decent manager or statesman in the entire country. And then there's the invasion of this mad Muhammad Islamic religion that breathes slaughter and bloodshed all over the world. You've been infiltrated and polluted and filled with it. It's God's judgment upon you because of your unrighteousness and because of your unbelief, your atheism. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, a disgrace to any people, including yourselves as a nation. Every cause has an effect, and the cause of your unbelief, unrighteousness, is the judgment of God upon you as an individual and as a nation. But then, of course, it gets worse as you go on, because the wrath of God remains. It abideth upon you and will abide upon you eternally, everlastingly. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, and I might add, eternally, everlastingly. It just never comes to an end. When you fall out of this world in your unbelief, in your disgusting atheism, believe me, the tree, it lies where it falls. There's no shifting it afterwards. There's no place called purgatory. That's a lie. Another lie from the Pope, from the Antichrist, to get more money out of you who would call yourselves papists. People, it's a money spinner. A big money spinner. The Bible does not speak about purgatory. Heaven or hell, that's the only two destinations. Heaven for believers and hell for atheists and unbelievers. He that believeth on the Son, he alone has everlasting life. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides eternally upon him. You go out of this world, people, unsaved, unbelieving, you go to a lost eternity. End of story. No way back. No reformation. No second chances. This is the only chance you get. The proclamation of the gospel. Believe and you will. You shall be saved. But then, of course, another effect of your unbelief. In hell, that is. When you fall out of this world in your unbelief. Believe me, people, no reform, no change then. The wrath of God, you see, people, it hardens people. It doesn't soften them. The place the Bible calls hell is not to make people good. Not some myth that was invented by your forebears to frighten you out of your wits. But the reality of God's punishment, God's justice which is inflexible and which is immovable. I know you live in a society that doesn't like to punish people, it just likes to punish victims. Well, God, believe me, it's the other way round. He punishes the villains, and he encourages, and he helps, and he ministers to the victim. Believe me, you fall out of this world in your unbelief, there is no repair, no reform, no way back to God. Nothing but the angry presence of God in hell forever and ever. So, like I say, or rather, like the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Only one class of people that God's against: unbelievers, atheists, Christ rejecters. You say, okay, I've got no need of the gospel, I'm prosperous. But people, think about it, if you will, and think about it yourself. Don't let other people do your thinking for you. Think about the end. When you slip out of this world, when you're lying in your deathbed, inches, seconds away from eternity, what then? People, it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment of God. Dying is not a spectator sport. 95 million people die every year. 3 every second. 11,000 in the last hour have gone out of this world to a lost eternity. Your turn will come soon. Sooner than you think. Be done with unbelief now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. You'd like to have a copy of God's word, take home with you, read for yourself, see that these things are so. It's offered to you, free of charge, no cost or obligation. All you have to do is take it out of my hand. Read for yourself and see that these things are so. God's command with a promise: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God bless you and have yourself a good day.